Hello, Terry.
Hi, Wynn. Hello, everybody.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. God, what a surprise.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
Okay, now wait a
second.
Wait a second. I put you guys live on the air right now. Uh-oh, silence. Terry,
yeah,
are you there?
Yeah, because the girls are kidding.
Yeah, something. I found it, Heiss. I'm going to forward it to Edna right now.
Please, thank you.
Terry,
do you
are
want
you
me
there?
To do the... I mean, can you hear me?
I hear you. So the world is listening to us. Hello, world.
Yeah.
This is Winfrey and Terry Brown and Heiss Magalia and what's the name of that woman in Hawaii? Let me see.
Gina Dolphin, I believe.
Gina Dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Gina
Dolphin.
And who else?
And
okay.
Over here with Edna and Nancy, David, Susan, Julie, Amy, and maybe more.
Hi, Amy. Now, who's David? Is that David E.?
David from Denver.
David, is that David? Can you hear me? Okay, never mind.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right, everyone's muted. Now, for those of you that are listening, we always forgive us for our unprofessional start. We're a small operation. We always, at the start of these shows, have to link the conference call up to the show, and sometimes we have technical challenges. There's somebody that's coming in, and I didn't mute them yet. Wait a second.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
And I'm going to start our tape recorder.
Thank you.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
All right. This is September 5th, 2011. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. And this is usually the part where we start professional because we've got all our things out of the way. We've got our tape recorder running. We're on the line. We have our conference call connected. And happy Labor Day to everybody. We should have taken a day off. One day we're going to start taking some days off because we have so many great shows in the past that most people have never heard. And even if you have heard them, even when I listen, there's things that come through that you didn't hear the first time, the second time, and the third time. So, because of the nature of this call, there's a number of things that happen simultaneously. One of the things is that we bring forth information and wisdom about how things work that when you listen to it, people tell me this all the time, any little thing can trigger you into a whole new change of consciousness, if that's something you'd like. Most people that are listening to this call are coming on because, A, they feel the energies of the call. They feel a sense of community, particularly the people that check in live. And those of you that are listening find little tidbits of wisdom, cosmic understanding, cellular resonance. I think the cellular resonance comes in because many people who come under the category of what our sources call wanderers or starseeds are on this call. And if you're a wanderer or starseed, the chances are, until you're exposed to some kind of this kind of information, it's never occurred to you that that's true. And it adds a whole other way of looking at your life. Because being a wanderer or starseed means that you are an entity that came from another dimension that chose to volunteer to take incarnations on Earth after you've graduated this realm, after you didn't have to, but you chose to do it out of service for the planet. And once you're here, you don't remember that anymore. And according to our sources, 90% of the people who are wanderers get lost once they come back here. Why do they come back? There's a 90% chance of getting lost. They come back because if no one came back, this realm would move into darkness and blackness, and probably everyone would get enslaved. So the 10% that wake up make a huge difference. And some of the people who are listening, in fact, I would say, certainly if you keep coming back and listening over and over again, the chances are very high that you are a wanderer or a starseed, and that you're making a connection on this call to your soul family, to the sources where you came from, and it's like a mother and child reunion to do that. And the topic for tonight is karma. Karma, which is, I believe, a Hindu word which has to do with the law of cause and effect. What you sow is what you reap, and that everyone in a physical body has, to a certain degree or another, karma attached to their life. And we have songs written about karma. We have John Lennon. What's the song? Instant Karma, gonna get you, gonna knock you off your feet. Better recognize your brother, everyone you meet. Sorry for the bad rendition, but we have John Lennon, and then we have Boy George singing Karma Chameleon. And I'm not going to try it. Karma, 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 karma chameleon. I don't remember the lyrics to that song. I don't think they're as strong as John Lennon's. But nonetheless, we're going to learn about karma, what causes karma, what alleviates karma, what's the difference between karma and processing. You know what processing is? Maybe there's no difference. Processing is when you go into an environment and you pick up energies from other people, and then you go back to your own environment, and you're still carrying the energies from other people. I mean, that happens all the time to me and to Terry on these calls. Particularly a while ago, when we would come on the calls, after the call was over, we both conk out. It was because these calls are unusual because we're feeling the energies of everyone on the call. And when people are going, some of you may notice that when we have a lot of new people on the call is sluggish for a while until it picks up. Maybe the whole call will be sluggish, and then a week or two later, it starts to pick up. And that particularly you people that are coming into the calls regularly, you're helping to anchor the energies of the call. And so you're going to start to participate in this process or this thing which I'm calling processing, where when new people come on, you're gonna, if you're really on the call, and if you're really connecting, you're going to be helping with the processing. And in fact, you're going to be the cause, to a certain degree, of making it possible for new people to come in, and it, the energy gets handled. I'm sure in your own life you may have experienced this, where you're around someone and you feel the energies, and you take it on, and then you have to clear it before you're back to your center again. And particularly if you're doing really high-energy, spiritual, creative things, that is one of the things that comes along with the package, the processing. Well, it seems like processing is different from karma in the sense that it's much shorter. It can be a day, it can be a few hours, but it has similarities to karma. Maybe it's more like instant karma, so to speak, as John Lennon spoke about. And karma usually is long-term, where you're carrying an ancient pattern, and it still has to do with processing, but it's a pattern that is in your track or in your subconscious, and it's affecting everything you do to a certain degree. And so the real questions that we're going to look at today is, how do you clear that track? What's the best way to do it? And what's the best way to ensure that you don't create more track, more future karma to be worked out? You know, we are in this life, and there's something called experience. And we all need experience, or most of us need experience. We need friends. We need intimacy. And it's in the way that we have experience that we generate potential karma. So how can we have experience without generating karma? And how can we clear the karma that we've generated in the past? And that's not a simple task. And, you know, everybody wants, like, okay, let me turn the television on and clear the karma. Well, it's not going to happen that way. Sometimes it takes a long time. I had a conversation with a friend of mine today, Suzanne, who does the transcribing for our Wednesday calls. And she said, we'll ask her question tonight. I was going to ask it on Wednesday, but it kind of fits in for tonight's topic. And it had to do with suffering. And she was asking about the Christian concept of suffering and do we really have to suffer to get back to God? And my take on this is that when you really choose to face your karma, some of us might have to suffer for a period of time, because suffering is the way that things surface and release. And depending on your particular karmic track. And karma, it sounds like that we're describing it like it's in the past. But in fact, it's all here now. It's the way your energy track is distorted. And it got distorted because of the past, because of past incidents. And now that it's distorted, it's how do you undistort it? Now, one concept that I had a realization about at one point was when you start thinking of karma in your track, creating distortions, it's very easy to think that you were bad, in some previous time. And that's why you have karma, because you were bad and you're being punished. Well, first of all, karma can be good as well as positive as well as negative, because when we've done really great things in other lifetimes, we carry those potentials with us. It's kind of like which nuts are you going to crack this lifetime? And the one thing about the idea of bad karma that I've come to understand, and of course I'm going to be asking questions for clarification on this, is that oftentimes these karmic tracks got established through no doing of your own. You just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's what I think. We'll ask about that. I mean, to give an example, in the record material, in the record raw material, Carla talks about Maldek, and Maldek was one of the planets in our solar system that exploded and became the asteroids, and that all the entire population of Maldek became a tangled knot of souls, mangled, compressed together, where, and apparently, according to Terry, this happens often in an explosion of sorts, that souls just glom together and they get tangled. And that Ra describes that they took this tangled mass of souls, they came in as Neanderthal man in on Earth, and that Ra spent special efforts to untangle them, and it took thousands of years, okay? Now, obviously, those people were all carrying a track of something as a result of that explosion on Maldek, and yet they had nothing to do with it, the majority of them. And I'm sure that there are many of them that were wonderful, great, good people. I don't know about the spiritual aspect of Maldek, but some of them have to have been spiritually oriented. And yet, according to the Ra, the whole group got mangled and was a mess. So karma may not just be a personal thing. You may have walked in the wrong place at the wrong time. And some people would say, well, if that happened, it was meant to be. Although, I'm not sure I believe that. I think that there is such a thing as random events out here that occur, and if you happen to walk into the wrong random event, something could happen that lodges in your karmic field, in your energy field, that starts to get carried forth from one life to another to another. Maybe, you know, I know in both Terry and my cases, we both have knowledge of some previous lifetimes we had where we were killed in unpleasant ways. And that I know in my case, one of those lifetimes was 1,000 years ago, and I was still carrying that in this lifetime. And in Terry's case, it was a lifetime that she remembers, maybe two lifetimes ago, where she was killed in a rather unpleasant way, and she still complains. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah, it was last life.
It was last life. And, you know, it's okay to share this, right?
Yeah.
It's okay? Okay.
Yeah.
She was killed. She was killed in a rather unpleasant way by a jealous woman who her memory is that she knifed her. And oftentimes, Terry will feel pain and compression about the knife wound. So I think we could call that karma, because it's even though, now maybe Terry did something that promoted that to occur, okay? And maybe it was their unconscious that promoted it. Or maybe it was totally the woman's doing. But irregardless, Terry has pain in her chest, and I watched her relive that incident, okay? So this is a rather complex topic, and the key is, no matter where something came from, no matter where it came from, how do we get rid of it? How do we get into present time? How do we move into the present and clear ourselves from these past influences? What's the best way? And that's going to be our topic. You know, I'm going to open up the conference line. Before going to the channeling, let me just open it up and have you guys just share anything about karma. Maybe we'll come up with some, this is not like a Wednesday call where we're going to just have questions about anything. But if there's things about this idea of karma that have ever confused you, maybe just bring them up and we'll try to cover them in the questions. Hang on.
There are 2 moderators and 13 participants on the call.
Well, now I just told everybody how many people were on the call.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay, so the lines are open. Anyone have anything burning thing about the idea of karma?
Now, Wynn, one thing I believe, to my understanding, is there a good karma and a bad karma, so to speak. Is that correct?
Well, you know, as soon as you say good and bad karma, you're involved in duality, okay? Like, if you did something that was really hurtful, then that the hurt that you created would somehow lodge in as guilt. And the guilt would come up in future situations around the same kind of circumstance. So if you don't like guilt, you would call that bad karma, okay?
But if you would like, isn't it like when you save somebody's life, isn't it like the opposite?
If you save somebody's life, and then, well, like I have somebody like that in my life now, where I knew them in a previous life, and we discovered who it was, and I had done really, really good things for them in that life, and there was all this gratitude, instant connection, because of that. You know, when you meet somebody that you have a really good, positive connection with, it's usually because they're a reiteration of a past life. And keep in mind that when we talk about past lives, according to our information, we go back 1,000 lifetimes. So we all have enormous amounts of people out there. I mean, if you figure that in any given life, you probably have touched 200 or 300 people, that means that's 200 or 300,000 people out there that you have some connection with. So any one of them you can meet at any time, and it could trigger some of the episodes of that past life, both good karma or bad karma, as you call it. I think that if we're talking about duality, we just say karma so that we're outside of duality without creating a judgment to it. But I would venture to say that when you're in pain because you're carrying past life incidents, you would call that bad karma. But say in Terry's case, where somebody killed her, knifed her, and perhaps she was innocent, perhaps she wasn't. You see, it's complicated. But assuming she was innocent, and yet she still had created a whole track of pain in this lifetime as a result of that incident. Okay?
You nervous about tomorrow?
Are we nervous about tomorrow? We hear you. You're live.
Oops. I was talking to my son about going to school tomorrow. Sorry.
Okay.
As long as he doesn't have any bad karma.
What was your question, Heis?
If there is good karma and bad karma, because usually karma, when they talk about karma, usually it is seen from a negative point of view. That karma is something bad. That's my
okay.
question. It's also good karma.
You know, even good karma, if it keeps you from being in the here and now, is bad karma. This is a very interesting point.
Maybe we should define karma. What is karma?
Yeah. Well, let's suppose, for example, you were born into a very wealthy family, okay? Because you had really good connections with your parents in another lifetime. And so you were brought into that family, and you would normally think that would be good karma, right? Except suppose because you were brought into a wealthy family, you didn't have to grow. You didn't have to work. You didn't have to work things out with people. You had a life of luxury and indolence. So what would seem to be good karma could actually not be in your best interests, possibly, you know? So we'll ask the question. They're listening to us. So they'll figure out how to solve this. Anyone else have a question or comment on karma?
This is Lisa, San Francisco, California. I have a comment. Oddly enough, right before I got on the call, I picked up a Sylvia Brown book and opened to the chapter talking about karma and dharma.
Okay.
Yeah. So in regard to, you know, just a little bit of information for Heis, in regard to what is right, what is good karma or bad karma, I'm just going to read a few sentences about what Sylvia Brown said. And it says, what happens to one's karma in crimes of passion or insanity? There is karma attached, but it is so minimal. For example, if a mother sees her child attacked and she reacts by shooting the attacker, then there's no karma. That's passion. Similarly, if she were insane or driven to that point, very little karma is attached to that. Everything is intention. A pure motive carries no karma. So, a few more sentences. It can be difficult, difficult to determine whether harmful intent was there or not. So many times after the deed is done, you start questioning yourself about what your intentions were. Then you build up unnecessary guilt for yourself instead of just giving it to God. Now, this doesn't allow you to go out and do anything you want. Intention is so vitally important. When you really get into the spiritual throes of this theology, you will question your intent. How important is it to seek revenge? How important is it to inflict hurt? What are you really accomplishing? Are you doing this for your own ego, or are you trying to write something? So maybe that gives a little insight.
Mm-hmm. I remember thinking about that years ago, and I thought if a soldier went to war and he was killing people because he was really into defending his country and proud of his country and self, that even if it wasn't true, even if it was the war was not an honorable war, if he believed it was, he wasn't going to get karma from it. Whereas if he was killing people and getting off on bloodlust, so to speak, then he would get karma for it. It would go into his track. And the interesting thing is in the way that I've read about this and asked questions is, when you come into this lifetime, your high self somehow determines the lessons you need to learn to balance the previous stuff. So it's not completely random, the family you're brought into and the challenges you have as a youth, because there's some kind of a high self work at place there so that you can process things in the best way, the way you're attracted to people, the way you gravitate towards certain people in your life, even when they're not good connections. There's processes that take place that that are what you need to relieve yourself. It's like personal relationships oftentimes are difficult. You know, there's a lot of processing takes place. A lot of things come up in personal relationships, love relationships. But it's one of the fastest ways to process your shadow, to, because of the way it surfaces. Well, it won't surface in other kinds of relationships. So anyone else have something about this particular topic? Going once. Hello. Who is that?
Hi. Go ahead.
I hear a shy, gentle voice in the background that said, "Hi, Lynn." Who is that? They disappeared. Is that Isis?
I guess someone else was also trying to talk, but it may sound silly, my question. However, I'm just going to try to plug it in and make it short.
Isis. First of all, speak louder and into the microphone, because
it's the phone that I'm using. Is this better?
Much better. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm trying to take responsibility and live in loving harmony with everything. So sometimes recently I've been having a lot of difficulty. Sometimes actually, when I cut the grass, I ask for forgiveness, and I tell it that I'm trimming it, and please forgive me. It's like a haircut that I would give to myself. But we have other things going on in my house, like there's a mouse in the kitchen. I have a hard time killing a fly and a spider. And we have, like, a big farm of ants in our backyard that is always stinging our dogs. We have 4 dogs. And my mom wants to get rid of this farm. However, I don't want to do it, but I understand it's becoming a problem. So in these types of things or plagues, or I guess these animals, I guess you could say they're in like lower densities. How do you balance this? Because it seems like I want to live in harmony. I don't want to harm anything. I want to love everything because we're all one. However, how do you find a balance sometimes where it's your well-being being sanitary and all those things? Sometimes, how do you create karma with those things? Can you just ask for forgiveness and just move forward? Or it may be a silly question, but I've been wondering.
There's nothing silly.
You know what? You know, if we go back to what Lisa was reading, it seems like it has to do with intent. Mm-hmm. And if you can honestly feel that animal is invading you and doesn't deserve to be there, well, maybe it's okay to kill it. But if you can't, I mean, I know I've watched Terry catch spiders and throw them, you know, walk way outside and throw them back into the garden. so she has that kind of...
Sometimes it's workable, but other times it's like, where, for example, if you have one mouse and it gets out of control in the kitchen, then which one do you choose? So I guess you can always work around it, I guess.
Well, I'm sure they'll make a comment on it, okay?
it is kind of silly, but...
Well, you know what?
I just think it's a great question.
Yeah, it's not silly if you think about it. You know what? It shows a great love and concern for life on your part, which is a beautiful quality. And don't think of it as being silly. And Terry, do you want to say anything? Terry's already probably. I usually say, Terry, you want to say anything for me to human science? She says, "What'd you do that for?" I was going into a trance. So I won't ask her. She can say something if she wants to, but otherwise, nope, quiet.
It's a beautiful idea to respect. It is a beautiful idea to respect all living creatures, you know, everywhere, but. In terms of karma and dharma, I don't really know the difference between the two, but karma offers some beautiful lessons for us to learn from, because we do play out our karmic lessons, I believe, every day of our lives in one aspect or another with all the interactions we have, whether it be over the phone or, you know, in person with someone or reading something in a book. And I think we're here to play out those karmic lessons and to learn from every experience.
Okay. Now, you know, karma and dharma, they're both Indian words. If I was going to put it, I'd put karma is the track you carry, the law of effect, what you reap is what you sow, and dharma is the path you walk on, okay, from day to day. That's your dharma, your job, your family, in present time is your dharma. I think there's a connection to dharma and duty, but I'm not sure Terry knows this distinction, so I don't know if I want to ask him. But in any case, I'm going to mute everybody.
Can I say something?
Is that Lisa?
Yeah. Sylvia Brown says dharma is only another word for responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the path you walk on. Similar.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. All right. You know, David Wilcox just came out with a book with a big New York publisher called, what's it called?
Investigations.
Source Field. Yeah, same publisher that publishes Sylvia Brown. So David is probably on his way to, I hope, great notoriety.
Yeah. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
What's the name of the book again?
Source Field Investigations. And I don't believe he talks about channeling it. He you know, it's made for the public, to bring the public into this whole idea of the shift. And this publisher is talking about getting him on some major talk shows. So he wrote it to not be more far out than would make him publicly accessible, if you follow. So, okay. And Terry, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the energy fields of the planets, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection amongst all of us present, while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we open ourselves up to the source that identifies itself as Ra'an, a conglomeration of two good souls, for our questions tonight.
We greet you in the love light of one infinite creator. This is September 5th, 2011, planet Earth, and we greet each and every one wherever you are or whenever you listen or read a transcript. It is our honor. We are honored by the connection. And we send love light to each and every person. We are familiar with the questions you have put forth, and we see the Dharma is the person's path in bringing forth the conduct that will create a life of joy in a connection with the higher realms. We see karma as a terrific tool for providing growth for an individual in his path, in his way through, and in his successive lives. Karma provides a tag, a tab, a sign that there is something there to learn, that there is something that is not completely satisfactory, or that if it is in the case of good karma, there is a feeling of joy and success and connection. As when spirit is present, connection provides the higher path, the better path. When the connection is in harmony and in love. Do you have questions?
Yeah. Some of the questions people ask, I'm gonna put forth the question Suzanne asked me on the phone today. How is suffering connected with karma? What's the benefit of suffering, and why is suffering connected to Christianity in such a strong way?
There are several questions. In the third dimension, as one is connected with factors that are of the physical realm, suffering can be taken on from the connection with the body and the connection with disruptions in energy flow within a body. When an individual, if it is not karma connected, leaves the body, they leave such suffering behind. There are many kinds of suffering, but there is one thing in common between the different kinds of suffering. In all suffering, there is a disconnection, a separation, and there then is created pain, like in a
sorry, I just turned on the light.
Give us a moment.
Put the microphone a little closer. That's what I came in to do. You're a little bit quiet. Okay. With suffering, we're talking about suffering, there's pain. But when pain in the body, there's a disconnection when you die.
When there is a disconnection, for instance, when an individual has a cut, there is a disconnection between the different tissue. There is a separation. And the impulses to stay connected back up, and they back up upon the tissue. And this lack of flow of electricity creates a backup, which then jams the tissues, and this backup creates pain. So, too, when an individual in a relationship has a disconnection of cutting off the communication, a cutting off something that once flowed, the energy backs up upon the person and there is no outlet, and this creates pain. If the individual is released in a body death from the body, and then does not experience the body trying to reestablish energy flow, then the release can be very beautiful. So suffering involves this connection. If a person has karma from a past life, there may have been disconnection. And the individual is trying to reestablish some kind of a flow, some kind of a reconnection with a person or a thing or an occupation. And when they can reestablish flow, then pain will subside. This should some aspect of it for you?
Yes. Does the person have to reestablish flow with the same entity? Are there other entities that can substitute or that can complete that energy?
It does not have to be with the same entity. It can be within the general subject or topic wherein the original flow was disrupted.
And can the person work this out on the inner levels? In other words, clear that need for the flow, or do they need to find somebody to work it out with?
If they could, within their mind, recapture the original circumstances and then release it within their mind, the other person does not have to be present. And once within their own field, their own matrix, they reestablish the ability to reconnect, then if it is psychological pain, then it will release. If it is some aspect of the body that has been injured, then it can readjust after the body is left. And the karma, the disruption in energy, does not have to carry over to the next life. Many times, a wound in one life will create a suffering in that there is a withdrawal of energy from that area. The person finds it painful to connect with the disruption in that area and withdraws energy. Therefore, in the next life, they continue the withdrawn energy and there may be a birthmark or some mark in that area or a drooping eyelid or some sign of the past karma.
Thank you. If Terry's high self gives permission, could you share how she could release the knife wound that she remembers from her past life?
There is a misalignment in the area of the knife wound in the back. There is a misalignment within the muscular structure, and this would need to realign. It has confirmed the cutting of the tissue in the past life, and the energy was withdrawn from that area, and so it was not able to reconstruct bodily in this life. To put some attention every day upon it and to picture it healed and picture the alignment in order will help to some degree, and then the area can begin to flow the energy in normal pattern, which then will reestablish energy flow to the area. Heat is one sign that healing is occurring.
Would there be outward modalities, say like acupuncture, massage, or energy work that could help speed the process?
Energy work could help for using the massage machine. If you set up the massage machine to run it over the spine, not even for a long time, but just for a few minutes every day, will help tremendously.
Thank you. A question that comes up is something like, and I'm using Terry as an example, but I would assume that many people have these kinds of ruptures in their systems that are creating pain in their bodies as carryovers from past life incidents. Could grace be invoked to speed this process up? And if so, how?
Give us a moment. One could ask for grace to work with healing in the area, or one could ask for healing in the area and the energies, the source that had the most ability to heal, to work with that area. In the name of the Christ consciousness, so that one did not get a negative source.
Thank you. Some people have done perhaps what we would call really inflictive negative things on other people in past lifetimes. And it's my understanding that if that was the case, that they would have a lot of guilt this lifetime. And the guilt could create immense suffering, but it's not obvious where it's all coming from. Could you explain a little about that process and how, if one is in that particular dilemma, the best way that they could clear it?
Yes. If one has committed an atrocity, say, in a certain lifetime, and then that atrocity has certain frequencies, certain motives involved with it, then in this lifetime, those frequencies, those motives may be in as frequencies in the matrix of the individual, and as such, they then attract those frequencies to themselves, and it can be in some other of the flows. For instance, one could feel the motivation to do a similar thing to one's own self. Or that would be self to self. Then also one might, since they were sitting in that frequency, feel what he had done to another. And since they were in that frequency, they may wish another to do it to themselves or feel that impulse to pay them back, pay their own self back. Or they may be curious and then see others do it to others. And they may have an interest in that to try to understand why they had those ideas that made go through their head and not understand where they came from. And then they may wish to watch movies and to see similar things happen in movies that they hope can give them more impetus or more relief from these thoughts or these subconscious impulses or the subconscious in unfounded, apparently, intentions that seem to be with them. And they may use movies to attempt to release these feelings.
And does that work? Can that work, watching movies that trigger those things?
They may make the pattern worse. And they may trigger it more as the original incident comes more and more into focus, it applies more force in their psyche and it may become worse before it gets better, before it releases, and they may not understand what is happening.
If a person has an incident like that and they just don't feel well all the time, can they process it just by letting their feelings come up and pass through them?
This is a very good way to work with oneself, as the feelings will pass, even though it seems like they may never pass. They will pass, and it might take as many as 3 days for them to pass. But the idea is to not act upon them, to simply let them pass through, observe them. And at some point, a person may start to see the reconstruction within their mind of the original thing that happened, which then, even though it is hard to bear, to look at, if they can simply observe it and let it go by, then each time that happens, it releases a little bit of it, and life then, so to speak, can run the original incident out.
Thank you. Two other things I'd like to ask about in terms of releasing heavy patterns from the past. One of them is good works. I've heard people say that if you do good works and make contribution, real contribution to the lives of others, it speeds up the process of releasing the guilt from the past. It kind of balances it. Could you share the effectiveness of that approach?
Thank you. This may not work to release the original karma. However, it may help the individual building up his idea of himself, his self-concept, his self-worth, and his feeling of trustworthiness, that he can trust himself to be a helpful, worthwhile, contributing individual. And this can help to give him strength to handle and just simply observe and let it pass through of any karma.
And how about the idea of forgiveness? If a person can have some idea of what they've done, or even if they don't know exactly what it is, but they're experiencing the effects of overwhelming guilt, and sometimes guilt comes up like being apologetic for yourself, or feeling worthless. If they're feeling those things, is there a way to apply self-forgiveness to release those energies faster?
Yes, forgiveness of self is very important. And one should distinguish between implanted thoughts of being worthless and thoughts that are their own. If their mind is simply relaying thoughts that have been laid into them in the past, say in growing up, a parent who has been very hard on the child and looking at the child as if the child is worthless and will never amount to anything, to isolate the source of that and in that case, to forgive the parent, to forgive the person that implanted the implant, and not to buy in to the idea that has been laid in, but to just simply forgive whatever sources laid that concept in, and then to be one's own person, and to forgive anything that they have done in the past that they do not feel right about, that then they can move forward in their life having completed their thoughts about that and learned from that in the future they will act differently.
Thank you. And finally, the idea of processing. To me, there is some kind of connection between processing and karma, although processing seems to be a fairly positive process which allows one to help others. Obviously, everyone has got to do it themselves. But say, for example, there's times when we do a call and the energies all become one on the call. And when the call is over, we're really tired. I don't know if on the other realms, if there's an experience of any lingering energy after a call or if it's totally clear. But is that processing of the energies on the call in the way that I see it? Is that true? And I use the call, but I imagine that everyone moves in and out of circumstances during the day, and they're picking up energies from everything they're in, and some of the energies pass through and some of them stick, and then they have to release themselves from those energies that stick. Could you share a little bit from your perspective about that process?
Yes, when a person has total acceptance and no judgment and total love, then things do not stick. When a person has judgment and concerns, then things stick. If a person is free to flow in and out of a situation without attempting to change it, but can simply let it flow through them and look at the circumstances of it with love. And there's another factor that when an individual has charge or concerns in an area and they are touched upon by another and one picks up that concern from the other and has similar propensity towards concerns, then they can be affected to continue to try to work it out after the call is over.
Thank you. And we're going a little over, but we started late. I talked a lot. I will just ask one more question, and then we'll close this session. And I just thought we'd address Isis's question about the feeling she feels when there's animals, there's bugs, there's mice, and is there karma that comes from killing those kinds of creatures?
It depends upon the intention of the individual, and there are circumstances where it is such a conflict between the invading population and the individual that it is necessary to set the boundaries and to clear them out. And there are two ways. One of them is harder because they do not, the insect or the mouse population, do not get the message, or the ant population. They are in a war, so to speak, for resources. And this creates a problem. And one, if they look at it from the other side, can set their mindset to a loving solution and asking our forgiveness for that population and an intention that they move their hive or their homes to another location. If they,
go ahead.
And in some circumstances, it may be necessary to enforce it when it is totally invasive or somewhat invasive, just to set the boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Anything more you'd like to share with us before we close for the evening?
We have an outpouring of love for each of you and for the circumstances that you have undertaken. And we know there is suffering involved. And from the perspective of the other side, there is home where the suffering is alleviated. We leave, but we do not leave Adonai.
Thank you. Okay, on that note, I'll unmute everybody.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
By the way, this Sunday, and I'll make a formal announcement, but this Sunday on the grid healing, if we can pull it off, we're going to do some little sub discussion groups after the grid healing on different topics, and different people will lead them, like Suzanne Hayes might lead a discussion group on the Law of One. Somebody else might have a healing circle. And I'll see the people who come forward that have something to offer. But it's more of a discussion, just people getting to know each other. We have people just that are listening to these calls, but that we don't know who they are. They never get a chance to express themselves. So to create an environment where people can meet each other and harmonize, and we'll figure out all the topics. So pay attention, because for some of you, this may be a really valuable thing to partake of. And on that note, we'll say good night to everybody. Happy Labor Day. And thank all of you who are on the line and who are listening, that are supporting the energy of this work.